Hey, 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 closet busters and bold move makers. It is time once again for Life Uncloset. So I want you to gather around because it is time once again to kick down those closet doors of your life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons. I'm the bold move expert and that coming out guy who's going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloset. So come on along with me and grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step into facing your fears, making your bold moves, and living life without apologies. Now let's get to the show. Hey, 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 Life Uncloseted family. It is Pride. We are in the midst of it. We are celebrating who we are, being what we're meant to be in the world, and showing up exactly the way we are. And yet, even in our own community, there are people who are like, I don't get it. I don't get them. I don't get the they, them. I don't understand why we have to do this. Why are they part of our... Okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be rude right now. Shut the fuck up. They're part of our world. And they deserve to be seen. They deserve to be heard. They deserve to be understood. Just like we all did when we were trying to figure out who we are in the lovely spectrum of sexuality, gender, all of this stuff. And I figured, what a better way then to have a conversation about this that seems to be not only confusing the world, but confusing our own right in the midst of Pride Month, because, hey, Pride is about showing up, being who you are, and loving who you are, regardless of who you are and what others think. And I'm really, really excited to have this conversation with this individual that I saw their work and I thought, this has to happen. Not that I haven't had these conversations before, but this has to happen because it seems to be the world just can't grasp this. And given everything that's going on the planet, the only way to help people grasp stuff is to keep talking about it, to keep showing up. And I'm so glad that Don Mamone showed up today for this conversation. They are an author, a speaker. They are gender fluid, gender nonconforming, all those things that people go, what the hell? Well, just take a deep breath. Open your minds, open your hearts, open your ears, and let's celebrate another aspect of Pride and who we are in the world. And welcome my guest, Don. So glad to have you here.
So glad to be here. Thanks, Rick.
Absolutely. So, boy, where do you want to even start? I mean, this is one of those things, as I've had lots of conversations, they're just people who either A, refuse to grasp hold, or B, you're like, I'm confused, help me understand. But even when you try to help them understand, they're like, yeah, I still don't get it. So I'm not going to get it and I'm going to move on. And then there's those that are like, hey, cool, just be you.
Yeah.
So
let's start at the beginning.
Exactly. You were born as a, quote, male assigned at birth, right? That's kind of where everything started for you.
Yes. Yep. And when I said start at the beginning, I could tell you the story of my entire 47 years, but I don't think we have that much time. More about the fact that, like, I love your lead in, you know, gender nonconformity or gender as a topic can be very complicated. It gets to be very intricate because we're human beings and we're beautiful. Mm-hmm. And what I tell people is there are people that want to stay in gender 101. They want to go into the entry-level class. That's the big class with a million people and you're all the way in the back of the auditorium and you can hardly see the teacher. They just want to live there. And when you're born with these parts, you're this. And when you're born with these parts is this, here's your diploma. And that's not the way the world is. My world is gender advanced placement classes. You get to come into the small symposium with a small group of people and you get to have a conversation about the intricacy that is gender. And it's really beautiful. And so that's the actual sort of education. Now, when you think about the students, you're right. There are people that are literally like, I learned it. I know it. If you have these parts, you're this. If you have these parts, you're this. I'm done. I don't need to know anymore. I now refer to them lovingly, Rick, as my flat earthers. Because long after Marco Polo traveled, long after we had pictures from out in the universe of a round earth, everybody's like, nope, there's just a group of people who are like, just, I'm not having it. And that's okay. Just do that over there.
Right.
As we learn more, science disproves itself all the time. Medical communities disprove themselves all the time. So the conversation we get to have today, Rick, is about kind of how the earth is no longer flat and how gender is no longer binary. And it is not what you're born with between your legs. It is much more complicated and much more beautiful than that.
And it is beautiful. I mean, I spoke at many colleges and universities throughout my career.
And it was always interesting to be in those, you know, gender, you know, classes or sexuality classes or psych and sociology classes, and to watch the students who were confronting this, just barely beginning to confront it when I was speaking. I'm talking 2009 through 17. So gender nonconforming was becoming the new wave, as was being transgender. You know, I was an anomaly when I started showing up, like, oh my God, this is a guy who was married to a woman and now he's gay. What?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's like, whatever. That's like, that's not common. Even a story these days, right? It's very common, right? So it's always interesting when we see these things, and I always was really just intrigued by the students who were like, no, that is not what I know. I'm like, you're sitting in a psychology class. You're going to be a psychologist. Guess what? You better catch up because you're going to confront this all the time.
And what we don't know, right? So I use the word ignorant a lot, and I don't use it as a derogatory thing. I say that people are ignorant when they don't have experience or knowledge. And that's common, right? We go through life, and I was just working on this as part of my book. If we have a system, we create a system because systems makes life easier. If we had to deal with every new situation from the very beginning, life would be even more exhausting than it tends to be already. So we create these systems based on what we've experienced and based on what we know. And so what happens is somebody like me comes into somebody's existence and they've never met me before. They've never seen anybody like me before. So I don't fit in their system. And so unfortunately, rather than expand their system and say, okay, wait a minute, let me find out where this person gets to fit, they say, well, I'm sorry, you don't fit in my system. So I need to change you. I need to modify you. I need to see you in a way where I can fit you into my system. And so that's when we end up meeting people that look at me and say, oh, that's cute. You're a fun little snowflake that thinks you get to be both man and woman when you can't. And I say, well, I beg to differ, and open up your mind and your heart, and let's expand your system to fit someone like me. And so that happens very frequently. I have the opportunity to take a willful ignorance in some and convert it to, oh my gosh, because I opened my mind and my heart and I was willing, Don taught me all these things and now I get it.
Yes, so, but it's so it's interesting because we're kind of sitting here in the middle of Pride and there's still that same thing happening with Pride Month. Well, why do the LGBTQs get a Pride Month and we heteros don't? Well, open your mind. And you know, I always say, okay, well, let me give you one question that might start to help you understand things. As a heterosexual, which is a gender thing, so let's go there first. Heterosexual is gender, identity and all this sort of stuff. I said, when was the last time that in your world, because of you being heterosexual, you had to be worried about not being able to buy a house or rent a house? Well, never. Welcome to why we have pride, because we have pride to be who we are on the planet, because as simple thing as buying a house and renting a house is something that can be denied in this day and age still. So let me ask you one next more question. When was it because of who you were at work that you felt threatened that you could lose your job because of being heterosexual? Oh, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, never.
Right. Well, again, here's the reason pride exists is because we take pride in who we are. That's part of this. But because we fight on a daily basis for our rights to have equity, equality, and exist on the planet, which now we're back. We're really on the chopping block in these current times.
Sure.
But I also believe, to your point, if we can expand their ignorance, and move them from ignorance to understanding to here, let me show you another perspective, which you and I both know, Don, that we're not going to get everybody. Okay.
No. And that's the point. Like, this is such a beautiful conversation because really the very nexus of it is the person has to want it.
Yes.
Like you cannot convince someone who's not at all interested in learning or growing or expanding their system or seeing me or reading me to learn and understand about me so that they can ultimately respect me. None of that happens unless they say, I want to know you. I want to understand this. I want to learn and grow. That's the first step.
I had an interesting conversation with somebody in my sphere, and I discovered they actually have a gay individual in their family. Okay. And I've known this person going on 3 years now, and they've never brought that up. I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. And there's always been this beautiful tension between us. Like, I can tell because of their faith and everything. There's almost the subtext of, well, love you, but hate your sin. You know, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. fine, whatever, you know, whatever, go, sure. go away. But this particular conversation, I really started to realize how much impact I'd had on this person being in their world and them seeing things differently. Of course, I'm not, you know, they would probably have a heart attack if they listened to most of my podcasts and go, oh my gosh, and he's in an open relationship and da da da. Like, you know, get over it. This is the way world works sometimes. The interesting piece was when it came to talking about gender nonconforming and all of this. Now, I'm not going to wrap my head around that, because that's just, God didn't make a mistake. I'm like, yeah, he didn't. That's the beauty. He didn't make a mistake. This person exists because he didn't make a mistake. This is just who they are.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do with that.
Yep.
But they did come back to, yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's not in my sphere. So you're right. They have to be willing to want to go there. This person chooses not to. So then I also choose not to have the conversation.
Right.
Like, this is where we will exist. And I don't even want to say we agree to disagree, because there's no disagreement for me. It's like, I just choose not to be with you in that space. So,
and you can't disagree with someone's identity. And I think that it's a lack of information, but it's also misinformation. And I think it'd be really valuable for the audience. You know, I've done a lot of work on myself, but also sort of just on understanding what gender is.
Absolutely.
And so I think oftentimes what happens is people try to, as we said, break it down to its simplest parts, because simple is easy for a lot of people, although those two things aren't exactly the same. Simple is oftentimes easy. And so when we make things a little more complex, it means it's a little bit harder. But I'm so happy to share just a couple of quick sort of more scientific bits. So I don't want the audience to get scared. But, you know, when we look at gender, there's really four component parts, right? I think of them pillars of a temple, right? These four things are not in any way interdependent, but every single one of them is interrelated. And so let's just run them down real quick, Rick. You have your gender identity, which is who you know yourself to be in your head and in your heart, right? Mm-hmm. So my gender identity is non-binary, gender fluid, something like that. Yep. You have your sexuality. So you're heterosexual, you're homosexual, you're pansexual, you're bisexual. That's kind of like who you're attracted to. And, you know, we can go into a little bit more detail as we converse, but like, I love the fact that nowadays, I don't even talk about your sexuality purely. Like, that's really your attraction. So I know a good number of people in the world that are more physically attracted to a man, but more emotionally or psychologically attracted to a woman. And so when you say they're bisexual, it could be just different planes on which they exist. So you have your gender identity, your sexuality, you have your gender expression, which is how you share your gender identity with the world around you. My gender expression in the last 5 years has moved way more to the feminine side of the spectrum. And I think largely that's because that's how I feel a lot of times on the inside. I also say it's because I put that poor little bitch in a little closet and forced her to live there for 41 years. Yep. And now that I'm proud of that part of me, she wants to get shown. She wants to get seen, and she gets to be loved and respected. And lastly, we have our body. We have our physical makeup, our anatomy. And, you know, most people say, yeah, what's between your legs when the doctor holds you up and says what you are? No, not entirely. Yes, your first and second sexual characteristics definitely play a part. But science has shown us that it's brain chemistry, it's hormonal makeup. It's actually like at the cellular level, there are things about us that are way more complicated than just what is our predominant sexual characteristics. So now, when you take all those four things and you put them together, I make this really bold, really audacious statement that people that are in gender 101 don't like, and I make it anyway. If you take those four things and you put them together in every single human being on this planet, then I'm going to go ahead and say it. If there's 8.6 billion people on this planet, then there's really 8.6 billion different ways to have a gender or a gender identity or a gender ideology around that person. They are totally unique. And like the night sky, every one of us is a bright shining star, and there's room for everyone.
Yep.
And so when you start to consider that, it really is, it opens us up to a universe of beauty and love and tapestry and makeup and all those things. So, you know, my gender identity is non-binary. My sexuality is heterosexual, although I'll say I'm now Emily sexual because I've been with my beautiful and talented wife for 15 years, and she's the only one in the world for me. My gender expression definitely floats to the feminine side, although I go all over. I shop all over the store. I buy whatever fits and whatever I feel looks good and makes me feel confident. And my body is what it is. I engage in gender affirming care. I sought out a doctor to help me feel a little more on the outside, the way that I feel on the inside. And so I'm spectacular. Like, I'm unapologetic about who I am, and I'm going to show up. And if it's inconvenient for someone, that's a them problem, not a me problem. I'm here to educate and inspire. And if they don't like that, then they don't have to share the space with me.
I'm so glad you did that, because this is actually what we used to do when I was on PFLAG panels in colleges and universities. We went through all four of those layers. And you could see the heads start to spin to some degree, but then each time that we're like, you know, because we would take each person on the panel and they would ask the question. So they'd ask me like, what's your identity? Well, who I know myself to be, I'm a man, I'm a cisgendered man. And I feel that, I see that, I think that. Okay, every once in a while, maybe I go to the feminine side when I'm playful and stuff, but for them, that's who my identity is. Yeah. Sexuality is I'm gay. I am gay. Now, I could float to the bisexual. In certain cases, I might go that direction. But my truth is I'm gay. And they're like, but you were married to a woman. I'm like, yes, but let me explain that to you. Yeah. Just because I was married to a woman doesn't mean I couldn't enjoy being with a woman.
Right.
So I am not a golden gay. Going to put that out there. Yes, I had two children. Obviously, I'm not a golden gay. But I also wasn't put off by women and their genitalia or anything like that. It's just my preference sexually is men.
Yeah.
And it's not even sexually. It's I'm attracted to men.
Yeah.
That they have a penis and all that. That's the bonus to me. But I'm attracted to men. My gender expression is pretty masculine, but there are times I wear clothes that some people kind of go, okay, that's a little bit feminine, but not really. And I always bring up Steven Tyler as a really good example of this. Like the gender fluidity in that guy is amazing.
You. It's wonderful.
And he rocks it. He rocks it in such a beautiful way.
And it's attractive to people all over the spectrum, right? So I know my wife thinks he's hot as hell. And I know some friends of mine that are gay that are like, yeah, he's hot as hell. So like, it's really remarkable how we started to look at things again with a spectrum. My talk that I give when I'm talking about my gender, it's called The Future is Fluid. And I think that that's because I think in all elements of this beauty that makes up a person,
right?
I think that, like you said, it the genitalia is one thing, but it's more that you're just attracted to men. Probably the way they think, probably the way that they see the world, probably the way that they interact with you. That's a beautiful thing, and it doesn't necessarily require explanation. And you know, when we started crossing the barrier, let's just go ahead and imagine in a binary existence, not gender binary, but binary, right? There's this or that, and that means that there's a line down the middle. When things started to cross that line was when people in the 101 class started to lose their minds. And let's go back just 20, 30 years, right? Gender expression, right? As early or as recently as the late 70s, early 80s, women fought to say, when we come to work from now on, I'm tired of wearing a skirt and pantyhose and heels. I deserve the right to wear pants. And society, I'm using the podcast air quotes for your audience. Society said, no, you can't do that. And they said, yes, we can. And yes, we will. And so if we think about that, right, that was a woman, somebody who identifies as a woman, choosing a gender expression that says, I'm going to wear pants. And yes, I understand pants were traditionally masculine and blah, blah, blah. But this is how I get to show up. Now, take somebody like me, right? I live in Dallas, Texas. I am male assigned at birth. I definitely have sought gender affirming care that has made me a little softer. Maybe my skin's a little more radiant. But ultimately, I do not pass as a woman. I'd never have tried to pass as a woman because I'm non-binary, but I will rock the cutest little skirt you've ever seen, especially when it's 112 outside. And I think what most people try to do is keep me on that side of the line in a binary world. Well, there's a man and he's wearing a skirt. And I'm like, well, there's a human wearing an article of clothing.
Right.
It really does muddle that line disappears, and suddenly everything exists on a spectrum. And so
absolutely,
I think that your sexuality is beautiful. I love that you're like, well, I'm gay, but that doesn't mean that I'm not attracted to some women. Like, this fluidity of existence, it creates opportunity. It creates uniqueness that doesn't require, again, that everybody fit into our little system of buckets and levers and pulleys.
One of the things that I used to say on panels a lot was, let me break this down to the simplest form of trying to understand ourselves as humans. Mm-hmm. And what I'm about to share with you isn't about anything to do with sexuality, gender, identity, nothing. It's about how we think as humans. Mm-hmm. So I want you to imagine you're birthed. And the moment that you start to understand the world around you, you see this thing on the playground. Maybe you're still in your little, you know, baby carriage, right? You're in that little stroller. But you see this thing out there on the playground. You don't know what it really is. But it's big. It's kind of scraggly. It has like lots of things, all different directions. It has some pretty things hanging off of it. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. Until somebody says, that's a tree. Mm-hmm. And now we have the label.
Yep.
And no matter what, that will always be a tree, because that will be a tree because somebody says that's what it is. Until somebody proves to you that something could be a tree, but it doesn't look like a tree. Mm-hmm. It's like a tomato. It's actually not a vegetable. It's a fruit. Mm-hmm. This is what being in this space of the sphere of gender and sexuality and all this stuff is. Until you understand, all of this has been put to labels. Mm-hmm. And all we're saying is open your mind and let the labels show up that best fit for how you want to see the world, but don't put them on everybody else and say, this is how you're supposed to be. And it was always so interesting to see the students, like the light bulbs go, wow, that's a really interesting analogy. Like, we don't know what anything is until somebody tells us what it is. But the more they tell us what it is, the more we're indoctrinated. I'm going to bring that word up because let's go play the game. Let's go do battle, folks out there. If you're going to use indoctrination, let's really go use it.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting way to help people start to see it without like, screw you, get over your crap. Mm-hmm. I'm going to teach you how to understand this. And it's beautiful.
And it's not as hard as I feel like when people are resistant, it makes it harder and more complicated. And you and I in the pre-interview chatted a little bit about my daughter. My daughter's 7 and a half. Her name is Frankie. At this point in her life, she says that she's a girl, which I love. We talk a lot about gender. Because daddy, this is a good thing for the audience to hear. As a non-binary person, I have not eliminated gender from my life altogether, right? I say I'm non-binary or gender fluid. Non-binary is my way of saying I do not believe in a binary. I believe in a spectrum. And I'm both boy and girl. And sometimes I'm a little bit of neither. And so the bond that I have with my daughter is very important and very special for me. And so she still calls me daddy, and it's not triggering for me, but it is for some. So we all get to have our own experience, and we all get to relate to gender however we'd like. And so daddy looks different than a lot of the other daddies. Daddy dresses differently, and I think, and oftentimes behaves differently than a lot of the other daddies. And so we've talked a lot about gender, and it's so simple, because when she started asking if someone was a boy or a girl based on their external appearance, the standard answer that my wife and I gave was, the only way to tell what someone's gender is, just like the only way to tell so much of what a person's experience is to ask them. So we roll up to Starbucks one day, Rick, you're gonna love this. And there was a person behind the counter in the drive-thru. Looked like Spicoli, for those of you that remember Fast Times at Ridgemont High, like surfer, long blonde hair, beautiful long blonde hair, probably in their late teens, early 20s, but not necessarily distinctly man or woman, boy or girl. Mm-hmm. And my daughter said, daddy, is that a boy or a girl in Starbucks? And I said, you know the answer to that, Frankie. And she said to me, right, we have to ask them. And I said, that's right. And she goes, then ask them. So I pull up to Starbucks and I said, I need a, whatever my order was, and a K-pop for my daughter and your gender. And the person said, what? I said, well, my daughter is learning about gender and she would like to know if you're a boy or a girl. And the person looked right at me and said, what a great question. I'm a he, him. My name is Tom, let's say. And I think that's great. And I said, well, thanks so much. And I said, so there you go. There you have a daughter. That's a he, him. That's a boy. And his name is Tom. And that was it. That was the end of it. And it's just such a beautiful thing, because when a person can look back at you and instead of saying, well, clearly you're a insert label here, And we can live in a world where it's like, hey, if it's okay with you, could you please share with me your pronouns, your gender, even your sexuality, right? We've had conversations about microaggressions nowadays, like this assumptive nature of humanity because we're so worried about asking questions. Anytime you walk into some place, Rick, and somebody says, well, what does your wife do? It pains me.
Yes.
Because then you have to defend the fact that, or worry about the fact that you're a gay man, you have a husband or a spouse or a partner, and it's just assumed that you have a wife. And it has an impact. It has an effect. And I think that if we can all just lean in and use pronouns and ask people or say, what does your spouse do? And allow the person to say, my wife, or my husband, or my partner, it again, it's only as complicated as we make it by not learning, being resistant, and just kind of putting up a wall and saying, no, I know what this world is and I don't need to learn anymore.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever actually told this story. I remember it's probably been 6-7 years ago. I was at a networking event and I was having this really great conversation with this guy. And suddenly he said, what does your wife do? And I said, my spouse works for the county.
Mm-hmm.
And he got really quiet. And I said, what does your spouse do? And he got really super quiet. He goes, you know, I don't know that I've ever had somebody ask me that question that way. I said, because I'm trying to be respectful and not make an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm really sorry that I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was that simple. And all it was a word. It was a word. That's all it was.
It was a word. It's when we assume we sort of indicate normality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you ask someone, what does your wife do when they express themselves as a man? It assumes that everybody's this way. And it really does have a negative effect. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, in a world where pronouns are somewhat new as an outward facing way, it's remarkable. You know, Rick, you know what it's like to be unsafe. And it's remarkable to me that I exist on a privilege ladder. And as a straight white cis male at the time, for most of my life, I sat way at the top of the privilege ladder. And the price of authenticity is oftentimes privilege. You'll hear me say that to anyone and everyone who decides to come out. And just a real quick anecdote before I go into that story, I believe everyone has a coming out story. I know that it's oftentimes reserved for or alluded to that means they're part of the LGBTQ plus community, but I feel like everyone has an opportunity to come out as who they are authentically, regardless of what that means. And it's a beautiful moment. But when we hand over our privilege to be authentic, it shifts our location on the privilege ladder. And I went down pretty substantially. And there have been a number of times in my existence now where I have felt less than safe. Pronouns or questions create more safety for me. And so I had a cisgender person say, well, it just seems odd to me. Then you can just look at me and tell I'm a male. And so why would I put he, him? And I said, number one, because I know lots and lots of gender nonconforming people who don't identify solely as male that would want to use they, them pronouns that everybody he, hims them just because of how they look. So assumptions, again, are not the best. And if you're cisgender and you're he, him, and you put your pronouns somewhere where I see them, you've increased the safety level for me.
Right.
Because I immediately know that you acknowledge the idea of gender identity and the importance of pronouns.
Yep.
And so it puts me at ease. And so I think that it takes empathy and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Any opportunity I have to put myself in someone else's shoes and be like, this must be real scary. As an example, the more feminine I present, the more empathy and compassion I have for every woman who's ever worried about walking to their car in a parking lot. Or down a set of stairs in a building.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I encourage everyone to close their eyes real tight and think about what would it be like to live into a world where I hand over privilege and increase my feelings of insecurity and the lack of safety.
Right.
It's a big deal. It really is
a big deal. And I've had similar conversations with people who are like, when I came out, like, you know, well, this is really great. I'm like, yes, but you don't understand. It is great. I'm really happy that I'm being unapologetically, authentically who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
However, I also lost some stuff. I lost some feeling of safety. I lost some feeling of, am I going to be accepted? Now I'm working through it. Every day I work through it. There isn't a day that I don't in some way, shape or form come out again. Right. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is I've also learned that the more I walk that walk and talk that talk, it gives me confidence. And it also helps me give other people confidence. And it doesn't necessarily have to do anything with sexuality, gender, any of this. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's afraid, and I actually had a really beautiful conversation with one of my clients yesterday, who she goes, I love your brand. I really love it. And this is a cisgender white Christian woman. Okay. Mm-hmm. She goes, honestly, she goes, the reason I wanted you to be my coach is because I'm coming out about being a Christian. She goes, I'm afraid to say that. I said, mm-hmm. I get it. Because there's a segment of Christians that are really causing this to happen for every Christian at this point.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And she goes, it's so interesting to have this conversation because I feel really confident now about talking about, you know, I'm a Christian leadership, you know, speaker. I want to talk about that, but I also want to speak to the business community. I said, there should be no reason for you to feel shame of mm-hmm. wanting to talk about this stuff. But look at what the world has created. Shame in being a Christian.
Well, that's I'm sorry. What does a Christian look like? Right?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like that, and what does gay look like? And what does trans look like? And what, you know, when we start to estimate what those things look like, right? A Christian yep. looks like your client.
Yep.
Done. Like mm-hmm. when you identify with and as something, you just get to own it and claim it and be like, this is me as mm-hmm. a Christian.
Yes.
And the
were you like sitting in on our conversation yesterday? Because I literally said to her, I said, you need to own that you're going to be a Christian in the way that you see being a Christian. And she's a psychologist too. And she goes, mm-hmm. I love this. She goes, you know, I intuitively know all this. I've been trained in this. She goes, I've worked with LGBTQ+, you know, all those people before, but she goes, there's this thing about as soon as you say this these days, you kind of cringe. I said, guess what? I cringe daily. I cringe mm-hmm. daily. Mm-hmm. I said, I told her a story. Like I had to call my specialty pharmacy because I'm having some issues getting prep. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I always even feel a little bit weird because yes, I know they're like trained professionals. They're specialty. They're going to be doling out this medication, right? But it's like each time I have a talk with somebody new at the pharmacy, it's like, okay, well, here's another person. They don't know me from Adam, so to speak, right?
Right.
But they know my name now. Now, granted, because of ethics and everything, I don't know. They may be going, I don't want to even talk about this, but this is my role, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of those moments where I'm having another conversation with somebody about, yeah, guess what? I'm taking PrEP because I'm a gay man and I'm in an open relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's these things that people do. They put the box around all of us and like, mm-hmm. okay, this is how you fit for me. And when I'm working with people coming out of the closet, one of my favorite moments is when I say, what would you like the box to now look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, what if the box actually had no box and it collapsed and you mm-hmm. just were who you are?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a beautiful moment in their journey. And it's still tough. I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to break that box down each and every day in some way.
If you
don't give yourself permission to go do that, then you're still just going to struggle. And I think the beauty of where you and so many other people in our world of fluidity and being who we are and all these quote spectrums and everything is we're really inviting the world to step out of the box.
I think that's so beautiful. And so much is, you elicit so much in my brain, like I'm firing over here. Number one, I very rarely use absolutes because that means that mm-hmm. there's no question. It happens all the time. But I do say when it comes to being authentic and stepping out and destroying this box and all the beautiful ways in which you coach your clients, it's never easy. It's always worth it. Right. So even on my most profound, confident, most amazing days ever, it still takes work to be authentically who I am. Now, it seems like the shame, the guilt, the doubt, the judgment, all that stuff. When we face that moment to say like, okay, I'm going to step fully into me and say, this is me and I'm going to be this person in the world. We start to evaluate two things. And I love the sort of polarity of it. We think about the fallout and we very rarely can focus on the windfall.
Mm.
And so like we are constantly feeling like, what's the fallout here? I lose clients, I'll lose friends, I'll lose safety, I have to hand over privilege. My whole world is going to be turned upside down. Yep. And we can't see past that fallout to see the windfall. And yes, there are a considerable number of things that you may lose. I'm using the podcast air quotes because it's always a net positive. And I'll tell you a quick story. My wife is the interjector in our relationship. As you can imagine, if we both were in order like me, we'd just constantly talk over each other. Mm-hmm. And so she's a beautiful listener. She's a watcher. She plays music. She's an artist. And she just absorbs the world. And every once in a while, she'll say something. And like the whole world stops when Emily talks. We lean in and we're like, she's about to say something, which means it's going to be profound. We were driving downtown for one of those rare date nights that parents get. And she said, I just want to tell you something. I knew it 2 weeks that you were my person and we would be together forever. And the journey and the change, none of that matters. You're still my person and I love you. And I thought you were amazing then, but since you've come out, you're a better everything. Mm. And I started to tear up and she's like, I mean it. You're a better spouse. You're a better parent. You're a better child. You're a better client. You're a better boss. Like everybody around you is benefiting from a better version of you since you came out. Mm. And I've held on to that because on the hardest days when I'm like, what's the fallout today? What do I have to deal with today? How uncomfortable is it to use the bathroom in a dress? And if I go into the male assigned at birth bathroom, I'm wearing a dress in a men's room. Like all of that, I just remember. But my wife, who loves me and knows me better than anybody on this planet, said that I'm a better everything because I came out. And I always know that the windfall will far exceed whatever the fallout was. And that's what you help your clients realize.
Well, and that you said it so beautifully. And the thing is, it is worth it because there's nothing better than being who you are. And I remember for years, I mean, for 36 years, 19 years. And then I came out and went back in because everybody said, no, that's not how you're supposed to be. And people have heard that story enough times, but when at 36, I came out, one of the first things one of my friends said to me is like, I've never seen you smile like that. Mm. And I wasn't, you know, I was like, oh, he's just tough. Every once in a while, people are like, he's so serious. I'm like, yeah, guess what? Because there's that pebble in the shoe that still says, if I let somebody really see who I am, it's going to be unsafe.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm to the point where I don't give a fuck. This is what you get. You get this, right? But there are moments. I mean, we're getting ready to have one of those moments. My husband and I are going on a vacation. Actually, this is airing in Pride, so we will have already been on the vacation. So I can't tell you what actually going to happen, but we're going on a vacation where it's a very, it's all straight people that we know mm-hmm. of, at least, you know, at least we're going to say straight in that way. Very assumptive Christians to our mm-hmm. knowledge, so to speak. And it's going to be a whole journey of coming out, because with this particular group, from what we've seen and what we know from the owners that we're going with, they're friends of ours that run a winery. We're probably the only gay couple on the trip. Now that could freak me out.
Yeah,
it's not. I'm like, this is what it is. I move and groove in the world all the time. Yeah. When you're in a little confined area where it's a small boat, it's only 100 passengers. I mean, we're going to be interacting with these people all the time.
Yeah.
I could be freaking out, but I'm not. I'm like, I'm just going to be me. Because guess what? When I just show up and be me, 99% of the time, there's no issues. No issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the 1% that there is, that's not about me. That's about them.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And I think, Don, this is the beauty of this whole conversation is, while we're quote centric around like LGBTQ plus stuff, all of this applies in being you, regardless of any of that. If you're hiding yourself from other people because you really don't want to be a vice president of whatever, raise my hand to that one too, but you'd really like to be doing heart-centered soul work, guess what? You better come out of the closet about that.
Yeah.
Because the moment you do, you're going to become happier. And when you're happy, what are people going to say? You're a totally different person. I see this happen all the time in the work that I do with people who aren't even part of my world.
It's They're amazing
not part
because
of the LGBTQ plus community. And I'm like, wow, when I help you, I mean, I work with professional speakers. My people who listen know that. And when I see these speakers that are like, I really want to do this heart and soul, I'm like, great. I want you to do that. But if you're going to build a speaking business, you need to make damn sure the heart and soul piece of this can make you money. Mm-hmm. But if you, but if you're committed to it and we've got something that we can create into a beautiful brand, you better freaking own it. Mm-hmm. Because when you own it, then you're stepping into your most authentic self as a speaker. And that's when you'll get hired. Because trust me, anybody who's hiring speakers, if they don't see you being authentic, you will not get hired. They'll read right through in a heartbeat.
It's really remarkable that you say that because, you know, my shift in the way in which I showed up professionally started to happen when I came out. And it included the fact that when I spoke on stage, I went from like talking about sort of the more general business advice. And I did my first ever time I did The Future is Fluid was at the Bellagio in Las Vegas at a national conference. And the interesting thing was I had a variety of people run up to me afterwards and be like, this is amazing. Now I kind of understand this idea of gender and gender fluidity and all those things. And there was a whole camp of people that said, that was the most authentic thing I've ever seen. I don't know how you made it through that talk without just falling apart on the stage with emotion. I see myself in your story. And I said something to the effect of, well, how so? I'd love to hear your story. You know, Rick, it never had to do with sexuality or gender identity or any of that. They literally shared with me, well, you know, I just remember how, or I know that I'm experiencing that. And it was always about something that they weren't allowed to do. Yep. What wasn't expected of them. The thing that I love when I work with my clients and they say, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Well, it's because it's what everybody expects of me. I'm like, what if you did the unexpected? What if you did what's in alignment with your heart and soul and didn't worry about what other people thought? Because remember, other people's opinions of us, none of our business. And they oftentimes say more about them than they do about us.
Absolutely.
And we work through this process and suddenly they're like, oh, I get to come out. I get to be who I am. And it really, like you said, it does change their life because suddenly then the limiters are off, the governors are off. We're like, we're so worried about belonging acceptance for so long. And all of a sudden we're like, well, I'm going to get to choose what I belong to and who I'm accepted by. And it just, I don't know. The light brightens, the sound amplifies. It just becomes a beautiful ability to witness these people just step fully into who they are.
Absolutely. One of the things that I share often, and I'll share this and then we'll kind of bring this full circle because I'm just so glad we got to do this during Pride Month, number one. But one of the things that I often say is we talk about a lot of addictions on the planet. We talk about sex addiction, alcohol addiction, drug addictions, food addictions, all this stuff, loneliness addictions. Guess what, folks? I'm going to give you an addiction that most of you are going to go, I never even looked at it this way. One of the greatest addictions we have as human beings is the addiction to other people's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
That will kill us faster than anything. But the moment you start living for your expectations on your terms, you're going to become so much more happy and your mental health is going to shoot through the roof. Yes, there's still going to be challenges. I'm not going to deny that. But if you really think about what we are so addicted to, we are addicted to how many likes do we get? Did people like that? Did they like that outfit? Did they, right? The minute you relinquish the addiction to everybody else's expectations is the moment you begin to grow and thrive.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. If I had to flip the script on that beautiful advice, I guess what happened for me and seemingly for you now 600 and some odd episodes in is you and I have found a path to being addicted to authenticity. Like I remember, actually, I'm going to share one more quick anecdote because I think that this is one of the more emotional, more transparent ones that people will really lean into and appreciate. When I started exploring my gender expression, I had been married to Emily for 7 years before I finally came out to her. And it was buried so deep, it wasn't even a lie anymore. It was just my reality. And so when I told her and she looked at me and said, you're my person, like, let's figure this out together. She really committed to that. She would buy me clothes. She taught me how to put on makeup. She talked to me about how to take care of my hair as it grew up. And the funny thing was, it was harder on me to show her who I was. And so she would buy me clothes. She would say, I think this would look really nice on you with your skin tone. I would have to excuse myself. I would go upstairs. I would try it on. I would look at myself in the mirror. The inner monologue, Rick, that we're all so aware of started. And it would say things like, you look stupid. You look silly. Nobody's ever going to accept you. The really hard one for me was, you're going to make life harder on your wife and your daughter. Stop it. And I would cry, Rick, like this, not just tears. These were the sobbing, ugly, can't get my breath tears. And then I would do it over and over again. Emily would say, oh, did it not fit? I'm like, I just can't really talk about it. I do it over and over again, little by little by little by little, right? And then one day I was able to quiet the voices just long enough to stop crying and to look in the mirror. And I heard a different voice and I had a different feeling. The voice inside of me just finally looked in that mirror and said, "There you are." And I felt for the first time ever that I acknowledged and accepted who I was. And the feeling was just euphoria, unadulterated joy and contentment. And I tell my clients, you can't think your way out of a feeling. So now that I've had that feeling, I can recapture that feeling and I can't think my way out of it. So when I get ready to go, when I get ready to come on this podcast, I'm like, okay, it's a top knot. I'm busy, earrings, light makeup kind of day.
Right, right.
There's no expectation of like, oh, well, who am I going to see today? Can I wear makeup? Can I not? Can I have my earrings on? Can I not?
Right.
The only person that I quote belong to or need acceptance from is myself.
Yourself.
And that's the addiction. That's the beauty.
And I hope that everybody who listens to this today gives themselves permission to be addicted to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And happy Pride, everybody. Happy Pride every day of the year, not just this month. So, Don, thank you so much for being here. If somebody wants to follow you, where is the best place for them to find you?
I mean, I like to email. I like to write. I consider myself an author. So you can go to donmamoney.com. You can get all kinds of resources there. You can sign up for my email list. You can find me on the socials there. So donmamoney.com is the easiest place.
Excellent. And we will have all those links on my show page for the podcast. And thank you so much for being part of this journey. And Don kind of alluded to it, 630 some episodes, folks. And stay tuned. We're going to be talking about what's happening with Life Uncloseted. We're going to be putting it a little bit into a hiatus for a bit. We'll see where it goes from there. But thank you for being listeners and being part of this and being part of my success as a podcaster. You've warmed my hearts. But sometimes there's a natural time to say, let's pause for a bit and rethink where we're going. So happy Pride, everybody. Always stay true to yourself and be unapologetically who you're meant to be in the world. And Don, thank you again so much for sharing of yourself and being who you are.
Thank you for having me. It was just so wonderful.
Hey, 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 Life Uncloseted family. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end, and it is time for all of us to sashay away and go face our fears, make those bold moves, and stand up to living our life without apology. But before you do, I've got a favor to ask of you. Would you hop over to iTunes or Spotify or Podbean or wherever it is that you're listening to this and just give us a little bit of love if you like what we're doing here at Life Uncloseted. Here's what it does. It helps other people find the show. It helps other people get to know what we're all about. And you just might help change a life. In fact, if you really want to change a life, we'd love it if you just ask a friend to take a listen and see what they think. So that's it. Love you all deeply. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of Life Uncloseted. And never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your life uncloseted.